All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us tonight. Joining me now is Dr. Carrie Madej. Many of you remember just a couple weeks ago, she was in a single engine plane crash. Very, very blessed that she survived. We're very blessed she survived. She joins us now to tell us what happened and give us an update because, folks, her story went viral. I got so many people emailing me, texting me, making sure I knew about it. And because so much of our audience is so grateful for her work and what she has done. She's been with us before. She was with us in person at our news desk last August at Bart's Fest. And, of course, you know, she's researching cutting-edge stuff and exposing cutting-edge stuff, breaking it. She's getting the exclusive on so much because of her knowledge base as a doctor. So her story went viral, and so many people were very, very concerned. Sadly, we almost lost two of our great medical freedom voices in America and the world in the same week. As you know, Dr. Zev Zelenko, our close friend, passed away. We almost lost Dr. Carrie the same week. We're so thankful. Again, providentially, she was preserved, and she joins us tonight. Dr. Carrie, so great to talk to you.
I'm happy to talk to you again, Brandon. It's been some time, hasn't it?
It has, and of course, our hearts sunk when we heard about your plane crash, and I'm just going to let you tell our audience, where were you coming back from? What happened? Many of us are concerned, you know, about the plane, because I guess your pilot was quite well trained to glide in, but then something odd happened. Tell us the whole story, please.
I was the passenger, he's the pilot, and we were flying back from Clearwater, St. Pete area and doing, the full leg and not stopping anywhere back to Noonan, Georgia. Everything was fine until about 7 miles outside of Noonan, Georgia, where it appeared to have some engine trouble and the RPMs dropped to 1500. Of course, at that time, you do typical things. You make sure that the fuel's rich and open up the fuel tanks. You know, things that you go through the normal things, but didn't seem like anything was working. He did what he was supposed to do properly. I'll let him speak for himself. But, he was calm and cool the whole time. So we were diverted to Warm Springs Airport, a closer airport. And so when we were diverted there, now that's a very rural area, we could see the runway. All of a sudden, the RPMs dropped to zero. That's what, I remember. So, of course, the plane was no longer gliding. It was just dropping. It felt like a rock. That's my impression. So I'm just telling you my observations. That's all I can because we don't really know what happened. So when he started dropping, he told air traffic control what was happening. And of course, when you drop below 2,000 feet, then you're not on radar anymore, from what I understand. So when that happened, we had to be prepared to go into the woods. Unfortunately, there's farmland everywhere, but where our flight path was to get to the farmland, there were power lines, so we couldn't do that. So he chose to go in the wooded area. There was, thankfully, a logger's trail. Hmm. So he was very skilled, is very skilled, and he was able to maneuver the plane through the logger's trail. Now, how he did this, obviously with God, because all I could see in the windshield were pine branches. And so what happened is we finally crashed about 10 to 15 feet before the main trees started to grow when the logger's trail ended. So that saved us, obviously, from blowing up. So when we crashed, there wasn't any smoke, wasn't any sign, evidently, from the outside that we crashed. So for some reason, nobody knew that we crashed. there's a lot of emotions that happen, obviously, with that. The impact was insane. I can tell you before we had the impact, I just was praying on my whole being to Yeshua, which is Jesus Christ in Hebrew, and praying and praying. And in that moment, I envisioned, saw two big hands, one hand under the plane, one hand on the top of the plane, and two wings surrounding the sides guiding us. And so I really feel there was divine intervention many times there. That's, you know, how I, this is my interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
So when we crashed, it's a big impact, right? So initially taking inventory, I was coherent the whole time. I remembered everything. And so I can speak from my standpoint is that I just went to, I did an inventory of body parts, and I saw that, you know, my left foot was completely, the tibia and fibula were completely clean cut, and my foot was turned about 120 degrees to the wrong side. So I knew that wasn't good, and I knew that it didn't puncture the skin, and I knew I had to keep the skin intact because if the bones punctured through the skin, I would bleed out, and that would be obviously terrible. So I didn't want to do that. I quickly realized I needed to get the pressure off of that foot. So I was able to extricate myself out through the door and put my body on the wing of the plane.
Wow.
You know, like I said, I'm going to just say my part. And I did, you know, talk to the pilot, and I said, after so many minutes, I said, no one's looking for us because, you know, in the movies, I've never been in a plane crash before. In the movies, there's sirens usually right away. No, nothing. And I realized nobody knew that we were there. Nobody was looking for us.
Mm.
So luckily, one of our phones was found and 911 was called and talked to the dispatch. So,
I mean, what can you imagine if you didn't have cell coverage, right?
Well, like I said, there are so many things that lined up for us. It's one thing after another, you know. The logger's trail, the 10 to 15 feet before the big trees, cell phones. I was coherent the whole time.
Wow.
Remembered everything. It's clear as a bell. So when, you know, calling 911, they weren't prepared to hear this. It's a very rural area. And so this took some communication skills, because I don't think they heard the words plane crash.
Mm.
They asked for health insurance card, COVID status, you know, that kind of thing. So a little frustrating to get through to them. They said they were looking for us, and then minutes go by, and they're talking to us. Well, I realized, I feel like it was around 20 minutes. Maybe it's a little off, but around there, I realized that they didn't really know where we were. They were just trying to tell us that to console us.
Mm.
I finally said, you don't know where we're at. I think you're lying to us. And I said, so I'm going to hang up the phone. Please don't call me back, because when you hang up the when the 911 calls, you're locked out of everything. I said, don't call me back. I need to pin our location. The problem was, at that point, the phone was overheating, so I had to cool the phone underneath my body, and sometimes the Wi-Fi was going out. So between all of those things, able to finally find a pin, and it worked in between the phone not working, and then was able to pin the location to a family member.
So were you giving them? So then, you were using the GPS in your phone to then ping your location, give that to a family member that gave your longitude, right?
But they didn't know what this meant. So the dispatch called back, and I said, listen, this person has the pin of our location. You need to contact them. So eventually they were able to contact them, and they were able to get the pin. So, you know, many minutes are going by now, and it's hot. It is so hot. The wing of the plane is, it felt like a fried egg, you know, even burned through. I had some skin burns through the clothes. But we finally heard sirens. I'm like, oh, thank goodness. The dispatch was talking to us, and she said, okay, now, Carrie, they're around you, but they don't know where you're at because it's all wooded. The pin only gets them so far.
Mm.
She said, so now for them to really find you, you're going to have to scream as loud as you've ever screamed in your life.
Oh, wow.
And this is another miracle, is that after all of that, I found, well, God gave me, this wind, this breath, this voice, this roar, where I just could yell and yell and yell. And I yelled so long and for so much energy that it could not have come from me. And eventually they were on a megaphone. I was yelling. Eventually found each other, sheriff. At that time, he said 20 units were around trying to find us. They had, he said, no idea where we're at. and a plane finally flew over. And so by the time they could get others there, they had to cut down some trees. And also they had to, you know, get like a farm equipment. I don't know if it was a 4x4, bush hog, something like that, to get me out of the plane first, because it was so wooded and rough, to then get me secured on a board, and then get me to the ambulance, and then I was air flighted out. But at that time, when they finally found me, it was the nick of time, because I was going into shock. And I, you know, the pain then was setting in, and it was excruciating pain. But I can tell you that the air flight did a great job. The triage, they did a great job. And so blessed that right now I'm home. So that was on the 26th of June, and I had surgery on my leg the next day. It was pretty, must have looked pretty bad, because the paramedics were dry heaving because it didn't look so good. I decided not to look at my foot anymore when that happened, because I'm like, I'm going through enough. But I can tell you right now that I have zero pain in my leg that's been operated on, the pins and brace and the plates. I have full range of motion, full feeling. It has no pain. It looks good. I just have to have it on for, you know, another 5 weeks. I had some vertebral compression fractures, about five. And when I first was triaged, I heard them talk about a woman that came in, and that, you know, she had 2, 10, 11 fractures in her spine or in her spinal cord. They were worried that this woman could go paralyzed. And in my head thinking, wow, well, at least that's not me. And then I realized they said the trauma name, that was me.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no. I said, God, that's not my story. You know, a lot of it's your will of your mind, your strength of your mind, and the power of prayers. So I said, that's not my story. So as they were, you know, doing the neuro checks every 10 to 15 minutes, and more people coming around, I know that there were prayer groups. There was one prayer group, there was 3,000 people. Around 6 o'clock. And it was around that time, maybe a little after, that the orthos for the vertebral fractures came in to tell me that, you know, we looked at your x-rays again, your CT scan again, and it's not as bad as we first thought.
Wow.
You don't need surgery. We're going to clear your spinal cord. And I believe that was because of the prayers. Absolutely believe that.
Wow.
And so many times throughout, I couldn't move at first. Like, literally, just to pick my head up was just about impossible, let alone move anything else. But now I'm, you know, scooting around, and I just can't sit straight up fully yet. But, you know, I'm regaining everything quite quickly. So very fortunate, you know. I had some other minor fractures, nothing to speak of, black eye. But, I mean, unbelievable on so many counts. And I felt the power of the prayers, because in the times the pain was so horrible, when people prayed, I could feel the pain dissipate.
Wow.
And of the times that these, what I call miracles, happened, were the times that these prayer chains and these people praying, or just sometimes people praying in the room. And I feel like that's the silver lining.
Well, you know, your story was going viral among, of course, the America First, Patriot Group, the folks, you know, who have been on the front line of fighting the COVID and the tyranny and the lockdowns. That your story was just going absolutely viral. I guess you probably know that. To my shock, I text you. You text me back. I really wasn't expecting to get a return text. I thought there's no way. But you did. So it sounds like you were pretty involved in communicating and talking with people pretty much through the whole thing, right?
Yes. I mean, you know, for the small instances where they had to put me on a lot of pain medication before the surgery, once they realigned my foot properly, that pain improved tremendously. But it was an incredible pain. Of course, I wasn't able to think clearly, and I was just sleeping. But other than that, it definitely had their minds, their head, understanding what's going on.
As a medical doctor, when the triage helicopter crew showed up, I'm guessing you told them, hey, I'm an MD, right?
Yeah, eventually I did. If I thought, I was I, of course, you know, as a doctor, you want to guide them. That's what you do, right?
Exactly. So, that's why I'm asking. I was thinking you would say, okay, have you checked this? Are you asking the questions like, what are my stats? What's this? What's that? Are you asking those questions about yourself?
The first thing was I was so concerned that somebody would bump my foot or do something that the bone would then cut through the skin and it would have been a tragedy. So I was very adamant of telling them about that. I mean, guiding them like this has to, nobody can go around it. No, you can't be at the bottom. I mean, that's just me. And of course, one of the first things I told all of them, the first responders, was this. I said, whatever you do, I will not take any COVID injections. You cannot. I refuse. And they said, what? I said, that's the first thing on my mind. Not anything else. Well, is not giving me the COVID shot.
Well, that was in my line of questioning was, when you finally got to the hospital, did they ask you if you had the shot? Did they try to push the shot on you?
I told them the first responders that. I didn't want to wait till there.
Wow.
So I think that was in my chart. They never asked me to get it. They asked me about blood products I refused. I said, well, I don't, unless I know the person, I don't want to accept any blood products. So I refused all of those, but I didn't need them anything anyway.
Good.
And those are the main things, you know, but I was looking at the vital signs on the monitors and, you know, they looked appropriate for what I was going through, watching them put the, you know, IVs in. And so it was coherent with that. I was just trying to focus my mind so I didn't let the pain overwhelm me, but they helped me out with the pain medicine. So that was important because I've never had pain like that. But of course, it wasn't anything, you know, that I obviously didn't get through. So
without invading the privacy of the pilot, what can you tell us about his condition? How's he doing?
He's doing well. He's, you know, improving at his own pace. So, you know, stable condition. Yeah.
Good, 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 good. So are you going back up in a single engine plane ever again?
No.
Yeah, I would think not. So let me ask you. I mean, maybe you don't even want to comment. Do you think there's a chance your plane was tampered with?
I mean, there's an investigation because it's not obvious what happened, but I personally don't feel that way.
Okay.
But it's important to do an investigation to see. So, yeah, you know, that's all I can say, right?
When you landed, did he put down the wheels and attempt a landing? Because when you say he found the logger's path and you stopped before the big trees, mm-hmm. but yet you also talk about this, you know, huge impact. So obviously this is a crash landing. You're crashing. You know,
you're right. I know he purposely, I believe, put the tail down as much as he could because he needed to stop us before the big trees started, right?
Right.
And that helped a lot. Whether or not he put the wheels down, I don't remember that part. I remember a lot, but I don't remember that part.
So you came to stop just because the plane chose to stop, not because he was able to stop it.
Well, but also the maneuvering and then also, you know, putting, I believe he put the nose up and the tail down as much so that, you know, doing it the opposite way would have had more, I think, more force on us.
Mm-hmm.
And don't quote me on that one because I am not the pilot. That's my recollection.
Right. So,
but yes, the plane is going to stop when it's going to stop when you're crashing.
Right, exactly. I've never been in a small plane. I quit flying commercial several years ago after doing it for years. But when you were coming in, did you feel like you were lining up with that logger's road and coming in for a landing, or was it just the feeling of you're just falling out of the sky?
I felt like we're falling out of the sky, and I know he was aiming for that, but I just didn't think that was humanly possible. And as soon as we started to get to the tips of the trees, all I could see were trees. I don't know how he was able to. It was not a straight trail; it was a curvy trail, and the plane was able to follow. So I feel that yes, he scaled, but God had to be involved. Had to.
Wow. Why you did
have to be there.
Is it because your flight, how long was your flight? How long had you been in the air? Because what I'm getting at is the fuel. How much fuel did you have? What kept you from exploding or catching fire?
Well, Well, the main body of the plane was okay. You know, just the tip of the right wing was clipped, just the tip. Otherwise, you know, and of course the tail. So that was, it was just the impact that we got. My feet broke, et cetera, you know, getting knocked around. So the tanks were okay. Now, by all calculations and by the gauges, both calculations and the gauges, of course, I didn't see anything because we were extricated. We should have had at least 1.8 hours left, and we knew that was only 7 minutes on there. So
now you
talk. Should have had enough fuel.
You talk like you're a pilot yourself, are you?
No. I'm just a newbie, but I always like to see and learn from what's going on around me and learn what the gauges are.
So you've been in a plane, you've been in this plane or planes like this enough that you've picked up on the culture.
No, only like once before this, but I'm familiar a little bit with engines only from my father because he worked for Ford Motor Company and he was really important with quality control and engine production and inventing things. So I learned a lot from him.
Wow. So your website is carrymaday.com. That's what we have on the screen. Is that correct?
Yes, that
okay.
is correct.
There, it's been on the screen the whole time. So what are your plans? Everyone's, of course, wanting to know what your plans are. You need time to heal. And what are your plans after that?
The first thing that came to my mind in the hospital bed was that this was supposed to be, what was meant for bad is supposed to be turned to good. It will be turned to good. And that I had many people just, and I haven't even talked to a lot, but the few that I talked to, they said it renewed their faith in God, renewed their faith in miracles, or renewed their faith in prayers. And in such a dire time where it's carnage and devastation and bad news all the time, we need to understand who and what we are and that we do have power and we are spiritual beings. We are light beings. We have power with God if we accept him back in our lives, invite him back in our lives. I'm a walking testament to that. I felt it. I saw it with my own eyes. You can't explain what happened to us without God, without miracles, with so many different things. There's more than what I mentioned, but that's all I can mention right now. And to see that people were just jumping on Zooms and they were shut out because they were, you know, cut off at 3,000. You can't have any more. Or, you know, someone's Zoom broke. There's too many people. People were willingly just going on to pray at any time. I haven't seen that before. And I had, you know, convents contacting me from the UK saying, we're all praying for you. Some representatives from the Nation of Islam saying, and they know my religious background, they say, we are praying for you. It's humbling. It's so humbling. But imagine if we started just to make that our daily action, and we do it for all of us, not just the person on the social media, but the person walking the street, our family member, ourselves, and you believe in it, you really, truly believe, because that's the difference between when a miracle happens, when it doesn't, when your whole being believes in it. We could change everything around in a blink of an eye. And I believe that's what the Bible and Yeshua, Jesus Christ, was conveying to us in the written word of the Bible. He was showing us the way, showing us how to be, telling us that we, don't be impressed by him, he was saying in so many words, you know, we could do greater things than he. And he left us the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. We have power. And if we accept God, we accept him back in our lives. And all the power and the glory goes to God. That's, you know, people like, oh, that was smart of you. I'm like, no, it wasn't me. It was God inspiring me. And that's the only way to get through something like that. It could have ended a very, another way. It could have ended a terrible way in so many different levels, but God, right?
Right.
So because of that, I think it's my duty, and I am a willing, humble servant of God, and I have more vigor and energy that as soon as I'm walking, I want to speak in person, right?
Yeah.
It's so much more powerful in person
and
share my experiences and encourage people that this is something that all of us, we can all experience miracles.
Well, you know, we were obviously concerned about you as an individual, but we're also obviously, we all realize the value you have to the movement for freedom, for liberty, for fighting this globalist system. And of course, as you, I'm sure you're keeping up on the latest stats coming out about the deaths, the latest shots now for, you know, infants, toddlers. The whole thing is just, you know, and what's so interesting too, Carrie, is that we're getting people from the left now joining us. You know, Naomi Wolf, Steve Kirsch, so many other people that I'm interviewing that are on the political left, but we're finding we're united in our disgust of what's happening with this whole COVID thing, the so-called shot or so-called vaccine, the globalism, the stripping of religious liberty, freedom of speech, deplatforming. And so it's amazing what's happening. And I know that we were all concerned about you as Carrie Made, the individual, but of course, we were also thinking about Carrie Made, the warrior. And we're just so glad you were our preserve to keep going and bringing your medical background and knowledge. By the way, which so much of what you were talking about with us, you know, a year or so ago seemed so sci-fi, and now it's being readily accepted and promoted and reported on. Even by 60 Minutes, you know, not too many months ago, was reporting on these injections with this little green goop in the vial that is tracking the medical condition of the sailors on the ship. So much of what you were talking about, people wanted to poo-poo. Now even 60 Minutes is validating that.
Well, when you're close with God, you walk without fear. You're fearless, right? And eventually, the truth always comes out. You cannot hide it. And right now, the truth is roaring, and it's unstoppable. So I think right now, people have to realize, what side are you on? You know, are you going to go with the flow, go with this agenda, which is just the most horrible outcome ever? It's dehumanizing. It's not human. Or to just stand up for what is right and know that no matter what happens to you, you know where you're going. And when you have that fearlessness, you'll see that all these other things that made you afraid were nothing, you know? And that's when you're truly alive anyway. If we just had a small percentage of us that really stood up like that and said, I don't care what you say, I don't care what you do, you cannot go against what I know is right and righteous, and to fight for our fellow, you know, human beings, for the weaker and the more fragile. It used to be common. Now it's not common. We
Absolutely.
Need to bring that back.
Absolutely.
Because if I know one person has my back, that gives me so much courage, right? Just one.
Well, you, of course, have found out you've got millions, and you have found out the hard way, though, but you have found out you've got millions who've got your back, and we are so glad that you are with us today. We're all going to pray for your speedy recovery, that you get back out there and speak publicly. And anytime you need a platform, you know we're here. You've got the airwaves to come out and talk. We want you on. Thank you for giving us this interview, because our audience, they're just blowing up my phone as to when are we going to hear from her, when are we going to hear from her. So we're so glad to have the audience get the reassurance that you're on the mend and going to be back at your great work real soon. So Dr. Carrie Made, thank you so much.
Thanks, Brandon. It's my pleasure and duty.
That's Dr. Carrie Made. Her website, carriemade.com. You saw on the screen the whole time. Hope you'll visit it and continue to pray for her speedy recovery. And I know she appreciates it, as we all do. Oh, can't even believe she's on with us after that, this quick.